It really is a wonderful joy to be in Dublin, and I want to say thank you to Noel and Sharon and the leadership team for allowing myself and Gavin to come and visit you this morning. Gavin and I took a left at the building here and into this little square over that there. But there's a painting on the wall that says, "The Spirit of Dublin lives here." I said to Gavin, "The Spirit of Dublin lives in here, in you, in me." I'm just a Cork boy that God paid an amazing price for. Let me ask you a question. If you had saved all your money, and let's say you were going to buy a microwave, if you're a bloke, or you're going to buy a car or something, and on the day you're going to buy it, you notice there's a scuff mark on it. What is the first thing that comes into your mind? Discount. Now, the anointing of discount is normally stronger in women. But listen, the great thing is that when God came to buy me, when God came to buy you, the play button didn't work properly. The HD button was broken. The purity button hadn't worked in years. But God never asked for discount. He paid the highest price that heaven could pay. And that was the sacrifice of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And I'm so grateful to God. And even these days in my life, 43 years on of being a follower of Jesus, there are some days, like in your life, the pray button gets stuck. Anybody there? Sometimes the buffering takes forever, and yet God has no regrets of paying the price he paid for you and the price he paid for me. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel really, really special. When I was 15 years of age, I went to my father's wedding. That is his second wedding. My mother died when I was 5 from breast cancer. But I'm not sure if it's still the same in Ireland today, but in those days, when people got married, after the main meal, we had a shore band. Now I'm giving my age away. Anybody remember the days of shore bands? Anybody brave enough? Yeah. Dickie rocking the Miami and Joe and the Drifters and all those boys. My word. We got some really old people here today. But during those days of weddings, after the main meal, the band would play and different members of the... Thank you. Different members of the wedding party would get up and sing a song. Some would say a poem. And when I was 15, my uncle Owen got up at my father's wedding and he read this poem. I was deeply impacted at the time, and I forgot about it over the years. But a month or so ago, I felt the Holy Spirit bring it back into my mind, and I'd like to read it to you. It goes like this. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "'What am I bid, good people?' he cried. "'Who starts the bidding for me?' €1, €1, do I hear two? €2, who'll make it three? €3 once, €3 twice, going for three. But no, from the back room came a grey-bearded man. He came forward and he picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it aloft with its bow. €1,000, €1,000, do I hear two? €2,000, who makes it three? €3,000 once, €3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And I stand here this morning to tell you I'm grateful to the master. My life was way out of tune. But the master came to me in the south side of Cork City in 1973 and had to tune my life up. And I don't know everybody here this morning, but maybe your life is out of tune. Maybe you're not in connection with God. You know nothing of the mercy of God in your life. I want to recommend to you Jesus, the Son of God. He can take the most out of tune life and tune it into something really wonderful. Just one commercial before I open the scriptures. A couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Influence, Principles for Building Your Life, Developing Connections Which Point You in the Right Direction. And I personally believe that no matter how gifted and graced you are by God, you can never become what you can become by the grace of God without the help of other people. Do you believe that? I'm grateful to God for people in my life who over the 43 years took an interest in me and invested in me. And these books are on sale for €9 on the back. They're my friend Gavin, who's nice to have here this morning. €9 for one, 18 euros for two, and €27 for three, okay? So if you like them, they're down there. If you got a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. And I want to thank Neve and Luke in the PA desk, or upstairs in the top. I don't know whether they can hear me. And maybe they can put scripture up, I'm not sure. But Matthew chapter 7, these famous words of Jesus. And I'd like us to stand, please, as we listen to the reading of the word. I'm grateful to God for the Bible. My other Bible is falling apart, but it's kept me together. I'm serious. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. For everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Lord Jesus, we're going to talk about you today, and I thank you we're in the Father's house. There's no place on earth we'd rather be right now than in the house of the Lord. And we remember the church throughout the world. We think of the church in North Korea, terrible afflictions, difficulties, but I thank you that you were there. We think of your church throughout the world where people are being persecuted for their faith. We thank you for their testimony. Speak to us here today, we pray. Amen. I want to talk today about a subject which I think is quite important for every one of us. And when I tell you what I'm going to talk about, then you think, yes, that's really important to me. A few years ago, before we hit our storm, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes, I felt the Lord speak to me about developing a series of messages, not to preach particularly, but for my own life. And the main ethos of what he said to me was the need to develop an undaunted courage. To have a determination to see things through to the end. No matter what comes your way, no matter how difficult life gets, I want you to develop a courage which will not be dismayed. I need to understand sometimes courage is simply this. Going to bed at night and saying to yourself, tomorrow I'll try again. These were the four lessons he said to me. If you're going to brave your battles and to win your war, you will need undaunted courage. If you're going to cross your river and collect your promises, you will need undaunted courage. Because for Joshua, the promises of God were on the other side. And sometimes we got to cross a river to collect our promises. And sometimes, to collect the promises, the river is in full flood. Wouldn't it be lovely if we just had to cross a little stream? If you're to boldly go where you've never gone before, you're going to need an undaunted courage. And I want to talk this morning about standing strong in the storms of life. And to do this, you will need, and I will need, a courage which is undaunted. One of the things I love about Jesus is simply this. He was very honest. He always told the truth. And in reading Matthew chapter 7, he wants us to listen to him because he's warning us that storms do come and storms do go. But we can stand strong at the end of our storms. The Bible says this in Proverbs 10 verse 25. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. How many of us believe that God wants us to stand firm? Do you believe that the storm you're going through right now, that you can actually survive it? You can navigate your way through it. Why? Because we follow somebody that on the darkest storm of his life, when they nailed him to a cross, when they mocked and abused him, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He never gave up. They put him in a borrowed tomb, but death couldn't keep holding him. The grave couldn't keep him. And we follow someone today who says to us, I've got through it, I'll take you through it as well. I want to ask you this morning, what is your storm? Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. Our storms can start with a telephone call. You can get a call from the doctor's surgery like we did and say your scan results have come back. There's something we're not quite happy with. And for us, our storm lasted 5 years. My wife was diagnosed with bowel cancer. And the doctor, in a very kind of cold way, said, go home and get your family together and tell them what's wrong with you. Very professional, but not very compassionate. And you know, Kathy was diagnosed with bowel cancer, and as she lost over 3 stone in weight, I remember telling my daughter who came to visit from London, I said, Sarah, I really have no idea how this is going to go. But we thank God that she's got a 5-year tick of bill of health and she's much stronger. For us, the difficult thing was the combination of steroids and chemo wrecked her bone density and she ended up having 7 fractured vertebrae. But I stand here today and say, we can survive the storms of life. Maybe you got a little card from somebody and said, you know what, I don't love you anymore. I found somebody else. That's what your storm can be right now. Maybe there's rumors going around your company, your factory, saying we're downsizing. There won't be so many jobs around. Maybe that's your storm. But I want you to know, Jesus, as he said to Peter, he's saying to you today, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And you're going to come through. For a few minutes, I want to draw some conclusions from a couple of people who endure the storms in the Bible. Anybody ever hear of a man called Job? I mean, a storm hit his life. And yet the Bible says, and God says about Job, he says twice about Job, he says, there's nobody like him in all the earth. What an amazing commendation. I don't know how many people lived in the earth in those days, but God said to Satan, I got nobody like Job. Now, God isn't the best God. But if he was, he would say, I'd put all my money in Job. That whatever happens in his life, he will keep his integrity. Because there's nobody in all the earth like him. And what the devil was saying was this. You know what? Job is only a mercenary. He'll only serve you as long as you bless him. He'll only be faithful to you, God, as long as things go well. And God says, okay, I got enough confidence in Job that I'll allow you to do this and that. Let me say, we are the most protected people on the earth. Protected by the blood of Jesus. And whatever God allows Satan to do to in our lives, he does it because of God's permission. You're familiar with the story, but in a very short period of time, the storm hit Job's life. He lost his wealth. He lost all his investments. Gone like that. Then he lost his 7 children like that. I mean, how do you handle that? Multiple grief. 7 fatalities in one moment. And then he lost his health. And the Bible says that when his friends came to see him, he was so disfigured, they couldn't recognize him. And he sat on the ground with a piece of busted pottery, and he scraped the pus off his sores. We're talking about the godliest man on the earth. And yet, he went through storms. He lost everything, but he didn't lose his integrity. He would not curse God. And in those kind of times, as we've been encouraged this morning, let's not say why, but let's worship. He said, naked I'll come into the world, naked I'll go out of the world. And he bowed down and he worshiped God. You can lose everything, but don't lose your faith. The great thing as you read the book of Job is this. There are at least 2 occasions where it says that God spoke to Job out of the storm. God spoke to Job out of the storm. And in your storms, however severe it is, you can hear God. He'll talk to you. If you've got ears to listen, you'll hear him. Remember Peter and the disciples in the boat in the storm. And Jesus came walking. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I saw somebody walking on the water at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd panic as well. And Jesus said in the midst of the storm, they couldn't recognize him, but he said, take courage, it's me. And what he's really saying is, boys, I'm giving it to you right now. There's courage, take it. And he's here today saying to you and to me, take courage. He's giving it away. The great thing is, storms can help us turn our tests into testimonies. However long I live, I'm only 24 now, round the neck. However long I live, this is my story. That Jesus Christ came to me, rescued me, that in the most difficult time of our lives, he kept us on course. He helped us navigate our way through the storms of life. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you sleep when the wind blows? Can you sleep when the wind blows? Let me tell you a story. Years ago, a farmer owned land along the Atlantic sea coast. He constantly advertised for hired hands. Most people were reluctant to work on farms along the Atlantic. They dreaded the awful storms that raged across the Atlantic, wrecking havoc on the buildings and crops. As the farmer interviewed applicants for the job, he received a steady stream of refusals. Finally, a short, thin man, well past middle-aged, approached the farmer. "Are you a good farmhand?" the farmer asked him. "Well, I can sleep when the wind blows," answered the little man. Although puzzled by the answer, the farmer, desperate for help, hired him. The little man worked well around the farm, busy from dawn to dusk, and the farmer felt satisfied with the man's work. Then one night, the wind howled loudly in from offshore. Jumping out of bed, the farmer grabbed a lantern and rushed next door to the hard man's sleeping quarters. He shook the little man and yelled, "Get up, a storm's coming. Tie things down before they blow away." The little man rolled over in bed and said firmly, "No, sir, I told you, I can sleep when the wind blows." Enraged by the response, the farmer was tempted to fire him on the spot. Instead, he hurried outside to prepare for the storm. To his amazement, he discovered that all of the haystacks had been covered with tarpaulins. The cows were in the barn, the chickens were in the coops, and the doors were barred. The shutters were tightly secured. Everything was tied down. Nothing could blow away. The farmer then understood what the hired hand had meant, so he returned to his bed to also sleep while the wind blows. We've got to make preparation. That's what Christ is telling us in John, in Matthew chapter 7. You've got to make sure you've got the right foundation in your life, so that when the wind blows, you can sleep in the boat or you can sleep in the barn. And for us, we've been Christians for 43 years. We belong to a great church. We've had some great teaching. We've got some great friends, long-term friends, that when our storm was blowing, we could sleep while the wind blew. And I want to say to you today, if you put the work in, you'll be able to sleep when the wind blows. Louis Albert Banks tells of an elderly Christian man who was a fine singer, who learned that he had cancer of the tongue and that surgery was required. In hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man said to the doctor, "Are you sure I will never sing again?" The surgeon found it difficult to answer his question. He simply shook his head, "No." The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment. "I've had many good times singing the praises of God," he said. "And now you can tell me I can never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." And this is what he sang. "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power." In adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job, when really he wants to do an improving job. To realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the storm. Remember, the Apostle Paul was stuck in a storm that wasn't his making. And I want to draw a few lessons here from him this morning, because we all face storms in life. You can read about it in Acts 27. Number one, in the midst of your storms, keep up your conviction. Keep the courage of your convictions. Paul said, everything is going to be all right because God has spoken to me through his angel. Keep up your convictions. I mean, for them, nobody has seen sun or moon for a long period of time. They've given up all hope of being saved. But there on the deck, Paul says, "I'm convinced. I have a deep conviction in my heart because of what God has said to me that we're going to get there." Paul said this, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he will keep that for against that day." Paul said, as Sharon was mentioning a few moments ago, "he who's begun a good work in you will bring it to completion." The second thing I want to say is this, in the midst of storms, keep calm. How many of us have said some stupid things in the midst of storms? Have you ever wished, I wish I could put my words back in? And sometimes we make stupid decisions in the midst of storms. Stay calm. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, you know what, young man? Keep your head in all situations. And there in the midst of his storm, Paul kept calm. Thirdly, in the midst of your storm, keep up your courage. Paul encouraged him and he says, so keep up your courage, for I have faith in God, it will happen just as he told me. Don't give your courage away. Don't drop your courage. Keep it up. Keep it up. And when my wife was ill, I used to say to people, I just take it one day at a time. In the midst of storms, keep concerning yourself with the cares of others. Paul, in the midst of the storm, people haven't eaten for days. They've given up all hope of being saved. What does he do? He breaks bread. He remembers Jesus and he feeds them. He spoke encouragement and he fed the people. And you know what? There's always somebody worse off than you. And it's important that in the midst of our storms, because the tendency is we kind of close down. We isolate ourselves. When in fact, that's when we're most vulnerable. And we need to bless other people. Because Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And somebody else said, when a person is wrapped up in themselves, they make a very small package. And you know what? We live in a self-centered society. We live in a society that is obsessed with ourselves. You know what they say? If you have 2 meals a day and a change of clothing, you're among the top 10% in the world. Never forget that. If you have a change of clothing and 2 meals a day, you live among the top 10% of the world. There are people in our world today who don't have a meal every day. Somebody said, you know what? I used to complain about having no shoes till I met somebody who had no feet. Jesus came to minister to people. He came to bring the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of goodness and kindness. And he knew he was going to the cross. And even when he knew he was going to the cross, what did he do? He washed their feet. What an amazing person Jesus is. And he set an example. So, I don't know where you are today. In your heart, maybe it's all about you. Well, I've got news for you. It isn't all about you. It's about him, you, and other people. And if we can understand this, it's quite therapeutic. It'll bring healing to you. It'll bring peace into your hearts. So I want to encourage you. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop ringing people up and saying, how are you doing? Or sending somebody a text and say, look, oh, I heard you had problems. Just let you know I'm praying for you. Let's live like that. Let's be more expansive people. And finally, let me say this. Keep company with people who know God. Keep company with people who know God. I bet those people, no, I shouldn't say that word yet. I'm sure that those people on the boat were glad that they had somebody like Paul on the boat. Someone who heard God. Someone who spoke encouragement. And I was saying to Gavin, there's a little book out there called Who's Filling Your Bucket? Anybody ever read that book? And the ethos of the book is this. In fact, I saw a book there written by the same person up in the sound desk. And the ethos is this. Inside all of us, there's a bucket. And as we go throughout the day of the week, we meet people who put their ladles into our buckets and take out of our bucket. Which means there's less. And we need those. Christ wants us to minister to those kind of people. But we also need people who will put into our bucket. And Sunday morning is one of the ways, not the only way, one of the ways, as we gather like this, Christ, through his people, put into our bucket. And all of us should have people around our lives who put into our bucket. When I was living in Mullingar, there was a man called Kay, a Nigerian man, who for his sins supported Arsenal. Bad choice. He went home heaven unexpectedly a couple of years ago. But when I wanted to have a laugh, Kay was the man I'd go and have breakfast with. And we'd laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. So I want to encourage you today. You can have a courage which is undaunted. No matter what comes through your door, you can survive. You can stand strong in the storms of life. And Jesus is here today by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as he said to Peter and his disciples, as they were facing the storm, the Bible says the wind was against them. Maybe the wind's against you right now. But what he said was, take courage. Can you hear him today? Can you hear him in your heart? Can you feel a little nudge on the inside? Take courage. Maybe all it needs is, tomorrow I'll try again. And he's here today to tell you, and he sent me to tell you, to take courage. Now if I've given out 50 euro notes, and you could see it, and I was giving it away, it'd all come up here. I want you to know Jesus is here. And he's saying to you, I got a shed load. Do you understand that language? Yeah. I got a shed load of courage to give you. There is no limit to what I can give you today. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to give opportunity for people to come forward here for prayer. I understand we have a prayer team. And all I want us to pray over you is to lay hands on you and simply say, in the name of Jesus, take courage. Because when we lay hands on people, impartation comes. And all we're going to say, and yet it's quite profound, quite powerful, is take courage. So shall we stand? I'd like us for a couple of moments just to reflect and think, well, what's the one thing I can take home here today? What's the one thing I felt the Spirit of God nudge me on the inside and say, Tommy or John or Sheila or Margaret, whatever your name is, I want you to take this. To weave it into your thoughts. To weave it into your heart. Don't let the birds of the air take away the seed. Let something grow in you here this morning. That becomes a fortress. That becomes a strong tower. That whatever comes through your door, the righteous stand firm. That after the storm, we're still standing strong. What have you got to do? Father, I thank you that you love your people. I thank you. The Bible says we are the apple of your eye. We are the flock under your care. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are the bride of Christ. We are the household of faith. Thank you for the price you paid for us. Now I thank you that you're a God of compassion. And Lord, you know every heart here today. You know every circumstance represented. And I thank you, Lord, the Bible says that you gathered our tears in a bottle. And you have gathered every tear. No tear has fallen to the ground or gone in a cloth without you knowing about it. You've heard our faintest cry. And I want to commend these people to you today. And I speak over you, congregation. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace, His shalom in the midst of your storm. If you'd like some prayer, then please come forward here and we would love to pray with you. This little boy grew up in a poor home, and it was so poor that when he went to bed at night, he had to share a glass of milk with four other brothers. One day he's taken ill and he goes to hospital. And as he's lying in his bed, the nurse brings in a bottle or a big glass of milk. And as he's sitting in bed, all he drinks is that much. And the nurse came in and she said, "Why haven't you drank your milk?" And he said, "Well, I come from a family where that's all we're allowed." And you know what she said? "Drink the whole glass, there's plenty more." And I want you to know there's plenty more where that came from. It's Jesus.